Randstad India Talent Pod, leading the human forward way.
Welcome, welcome, and welcome again. It's a brand new season, a brand new phase of Randstad India Talent Pod. I am Neerja, your host, and I am back in action. So excited to be here because this time the theme is diversity. Now, this is a word that we hear a lot these days, and it's a word that carries a lot of weight because there really is nothing more important than diversity and inclusion, making people feel like they belong. And this is where Randstad leads by example. Now, as you may already know, this podcast is a wonderful way to connect with you and give you exciting updates and engaging in important conversations from the world of recruitment, hiring, and placements. And like I said, on this second edition of the Randstad India Talent Pod, the focus is on diversity, inclusion, and belonging.
All things D&I.
Randstad India Talent Pod is back with a bang, and we have Ankita Banerjee with us today, who heads talent management, HR communication, and equity, diversity, inclusion, and belonging for Randstad in India. Now, that is the theme of the show today. She was hired as a management trainee. She's been fortunate to start her career off with a sales and account management role, and she's got experiences across various HR centers of excellence in her 10 years of professional journey. Ankita's lived experiences and deep interest in mental health is what sparked her EDINB journey, and she truly believes that being your authentic self starts with self-reflection. I couldn't agree more. Outside of work, Ankita is found volunteering with local animal welfare programs, reading financial and medical exposés, and meeting new cats, which I love. Ankita, I may not be as exciting as a new cat, but I'm certainly very excited to meet you. Hello and welcome.
Thank you so much, Neerja, and hello, Randstad.
Well, we are pumped to find out everything you have to offer on the D&I front. But first, let's start with your journey, Ankita. You are quite rightfully so leading from the front. Tell us about your journey in the D&I field and your personal experience with it.
Neerja, so to speak, and you know, thank you so much for this opportunity to, you know, have this conversation with you. My experience started and my journey started from a place of lived experience, if I may call it that. And because I have experienced, you know, firsthand experience of what it feels to not feel included, and it could have been triggered, even though like the other person or the other people, were not doing it intentionally. But that kind of sparked in me the thought that, you know, there are, you know, so many others like me or who are not like me, who are experiencing, this sense of inclusion or are not feeling, the way they should experience the workplace. And that kind of triggered me to start on this journey, to kind of start from a place of self-reflection. I had a lot of incredible support from my, leader, my boss, Anjali, and of course, our leadership team, our management team, Vishi, our CEO, all of them were with me on that journey. But of course, I would say, and I think it's true for a lot of ED&IB leaders, that it starts from their own lived experiences and reflection.
Very beautifully said. I think we can all relate to that very honest account of what it feels like to be excluded. And that's a great place to come from when you're working in the D&I field. And that brings me to this question. Let's talk all things D&I. D&I at the workplace has become such an important goal for every organization, right? So what do you think is Randstad's approach to ensure that we are on the right track?
Great question, Neerja. I mean, if I reflect back on from where we started and, you know, towards the end of 2020, at that point in time, we, you know, started with the mission to enable every colleague, every, you know, person associated with Randstad to be able to embrace each other's uniqueness and be their whole true self at work. So that's where the true self forward ED&IB journey essentially started. Our focus then was to kind of recognize what does ED&IB mean for each of us. So it could be, diversity in not just in terms of very obvious traits or attributes like gender, age, gender identity, sexual orientation, ethnicity, you know, faith, so on and so forth. But it could, or disabilities or ability. But yeah, it also translated into diversity in terms of thoughts, values, perspectives, ideas, personalities, etc. So that's where we started, and you know, we wanted to put mental health, mental well-being at the center of this journey, which is why we kind of brought that theme of true self forward, very focused into our approach, and aligned so well with our brand promise of human forward, Randstad's brand promise of human forward. And that's where we started the movement. And over time, we were able to create that, community, that safe and bold space to have those conversations. We were able to bring in those, very critical environmental and infrastructural changes. So whether it be with policies or practices or initiatives that we were bringing in, we were able to bring that change, and slowly we've brought that focus with, clear three critical pillars. The first is, of course, inclusive leadership. So ensuring that every, leader, every people manager is able to demonstrate that, behavior and trait of inclusion and belongingness, for not just for themselves, but for their larger teams. And we are very lucky to have very visible and active allies in our leaders and our management teams. Next, we talk about equity over equality. So obviously, when we want to reflect on, the exclusion that people from historically or currently excluded groups or communities experience, we must realize that just giving everybody and treating everybody the same way will not make sense. So we talk about equity over equality, right? So which means that how am I creating those equitable opportunities, moments for everybody to be their whole true self, or to have the agency to be, to whatever degree they are comfortable, be their whole true self and ask for those opportunities, look for, opportunities for growth. And then finally, of course, belongingness. So are we really looking at, how our, colleagues are experiencing from, excluded or, majoritized groups? And we do this through our internal, pulse check surveys. Of course, we participate in a, whole lot of external, awards and, surveys as well, just to, ensure that we are, walking the talk when it comes to ED&IB. So that's where we are, Neerja, at the moment.
That is amazing. And what an encouraging way to think from the perspective of an organization, right? Change at Randstad clearly comes from acknowledging the humanness of every employee first. Now, speaking of D&I, Ankita, what are some things that organizations you think should consider in trying to cater to the LGBTQIA+ community? Because inclusion is at the forefront and organizations should keep that in mind. What are some tips you have for them?
Absolutely, Neerja. It's such an important question, and whatever I answer is from my journey itself, and I will not claim that I represent the entire spectrum or have enough lived experiences or lived experiences, so to speak, to represent the challenges and unique obstacles of the community. But a lot of times, especially with the LGBTQIA+ spectrum, what happens is organizations fail to see that even within that spectrum there are layers, right? So cisgender gay man would experience privilege, and privilege is a very loaded word, right, in the organization, in a different way than what a transgender person would experience, right? I mean, and you would see that reflected in our, in our country's legislations, etc. And we are, of course, making some great steps towards it. I think one of our national insurance providers now are recognizing same-sex partners in insurance benefits, and that's a huge step forward. But what happens is organizations need to realize that just because they are hiring, one or two people are looking at including one or two people in their workforce today, it does not mean that they are on that journey fully. So what they need to understand is, one, of course, you're attracting that talent. Are you able to, in the second place, able to create those right frameworks, those policies, those infrastructural changes that you need to hire? Second is, you know, almost I would say about 10 to 15% of our, you know, statistically, and it could be a little here and there, of our country, you know, people of our country may recognize with one, you know, with the LGBTQIA+ spectrum, which means essentially even within your organization, even if you've not started on your ED&IB journey yet, there could be people who identify with that spectrum. Focus on building that sense of belongingness for them. So you don't have to, like, you know, go out and force them or cajole them into coming out. But the idea is, how do you really, you know, create that environment where they have that safe and brave space to have those bold conversations without prompt, right?
Yeah.
So it's not about, you know, attaching a number of, you know, how many people you attract and, you know, what you do. Third, very importantly, and again, like I said, we are very lucky to have that support from our leadership. But is your leadership really being visible and active? So even with, you know, simple things like including personal pronouns in their email signatures or on their profiles, you know, walking the talk and, you know, creating that mindset of inclusion, taking an active interest about learning about, you know, the LGBTQIA+ spectrum and identity. And then really, you know, creating those meaningful moments within the organization where, you know, people who are either already present or, you know, are being brought in from outside have that opportunity to thrive and shine. A lot of times, I think we kind of struggle to continue after Pride Month, you know, June gets over and the rainbow flags disappear. How do you really inculcate it in the DNA and the very core of your organization, and then translate it, you know, with other opportunities and milestones as well? And I'm sure you'll agree that, you know, organizations can do a lot more in terms of in that. And this is an evolving journey, so we're not going to get it perfect at one go. But yeah, that's, I think, a journey that all of us are on.
Yeah, those are some fantastic points. And, you know, to sum up, doing is more important than showing. Doing those little things can go a long, long way. And Ankita, that brings me to this question. You did mention that this journey is a constant process of evolution. And that's exactly what Randstad is doing as well, leading the way by acknowledging that there's more to be done in the area of diversity and inclusion. What's the next step, do you think?
Neeja, great question, and I think we want to continue on our mission of true self forward and, you know, hyper personalized inclusion and belonging, if you will, where every individual, irrespective of their, you know, elements of diversity, if you will, are able to be their whole true self at work, and outside. And I'm sure you'll, of course, be speaking to one of my team members, Robin. And Robin is essentially, you know, kind of anchoring the ED&IB movement for Randstad in India. And we'll speak about a lot about what are our next steps. So one is, of course, you know, strengthening representation representation from these excluded, historically or currently excluded groups within the organization. Keeping a constant check on our internal pulse, you know, our engagement surveys to see how, you know, people are experiencing the workplace. Very importantly, bringing in those, you know, changes in terms of our infrastructure, in terms of our, you know, environment, in terms of our communication. So one of the things that we are trying to push through is ensuring that every, you know, campaign that goes out, every email that goes out with an image or an, you know, a banner or with an, you know, a photograph in it has alt text or, you know, accessibility document attached to it. Then ensuring that the colors that we use, you know, again, in our communication or the language that we use in our communication is very, very inclusive and not just from a, you know, he or she, you know, language perspective, but in terms of more gender inclusive language. Then also look at, you know, some of our policies. So obviously we're very lucky already to have, you know, same-sex partner benefits for all our colleagues.
Yeah.
We have equitable parental leaves. But we also introduced very recently, leaves for life-changing surgeries, including sex reassignment surgeries, right? And we want to see how we can support that. So tomorrow, if we have a colleague who identifies as a transgender person, wishes to undergo SRS, is able to reach out to us and we are able to kind of fund their journey as well, which also means that infrastructurally and, technologically, we'll have to bring in those changes as well. And over time, we want to focus on having more representation at different levels, so not just, at entry or mid level, but also at a senior level, having more representation from these historically and currently excluded groups within the organization. We want to be seen as like, and that's one of our mission and, to be the most trusted and most admired company in the industry and beyond. And we want to be the most trusted and most admired company even on the ED&IB agenda, not just for ourselves, but for our clients, for our talents as well.
That's amazing, Ankita. I mean, obviously, it's very important to acknowledge how far we've come, but also it's not lost on the company as a whole that there is work left to do. And it's very important to know where we stand so that we know what's in front of us. And it's clear that Randstad is looking to make changes in a very genuine way. On that note, Ankita, let's wrap things up with your top three D&I resources that you follow and recommend we do the same. Tell us why as well.
Of course. So, Neeja, if you allow me, I'll probably have maybe five, and it's very hard to narrow down because my ED&IB journey has been one of self learning, right? So, I've relied a lot on these people and resources to learn more. And of course, I hope others can also take inspiration and get started on their journey. So the first person that I recommend following on LinkedIn maybe is Lily Zeng. They are ED&IB consultant, and Lily's content is excellent, outstanding. I also closely follow Asif Sadiq, who is the ED&IB head for Warner Brothers. Closer home, I follow and I take a lot of inspiration from Audra Jenkins, who's our Global Chief Equity Officer for Randstad globally, and of course Laura Todd, who leads the ED&IB and well-being agenda for Randstad UK and Ireland. And of course, I think in terms of resources, other resources, I think the Safe Zone Project and the Trevor Project have been very, very helpful for me in terms of learning more about the ED&IB agenda and the evolving role of ED&IB practitioners and leaders. So that's my recommendation, Neeja.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Ankita. It's important to constantly keep learning, and I think these resources will prove to be extremely helpful in that regard. So thank you for bringing that to the conversation today, Ankita. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
It's a pleasure speaking to you, Neeja, and thank you so much for this opportunity to have this conversation and take our ED&IB movement forward.
The Diversity Lexicon.
If there's anything this episode has taught us, it's that we are allies. We're here to make sure that the members of the LGBTQIA+ community feel like they truly belong and that they have access to the same opportunities as everyone else. Now, as allies, I'd like to end by opening up our minds to some of these terms, some things that we might need to learn so that we can accurately refer to someone from the LGBTQIA+ community. And this is a small but important step in diversity, inclusion, and belonging. Now, let's have a small lesson in the acronym LGBTQIA+. What do these letters stand for? Well, let's start with the LGB, that's lesbian, gay, and bisexual. Now, lesbian, of course, refers to a woman who is romantically, physically, emotionally attracted to another woman. Gay describes people who are physically, romantically, emotionally attracted to people of the same sex. Sometimes lesbians prefer to be called gay and sometimes not. Then we have bisexual, which is a person who can form enduring physical, romantic, emotional connections to those of the same gender or more than one gender. Then we come to the TQIA, that stands for transgender, queer, intersex, and asexual. And sometimes the Q can also stand for questioning, which describes someone who is questioning their sexual orientation or gender identity. But something very important to understand is the plus. Now, the plus is used to signify all the gender identities and orientations that letters and words cannot fully describe yet, because human beings are complex and there's still a lot of discoveries to be made. But the most important thing to do, especially in our corporate context, is to ask and find out from the person you're speaking with how they would like to be referred. What are their personal pronouns? These are some crucial steps we can take to ensure that we are truly practicing our EDINB charter both within the organization and outside as well.
You're listening to the Randstad India Talent Pod, where fun meets work.
This has been an amazing start to the second edition of Randstad India Talent Pod. It's only going to get more and more eye-opening. I can't wait to have some very interesting conversations with some super cool guests we have lined up. So make sure to keep an eye out for the next episodes, or should I say an ear out. I'll catch you soon enough. Until then, it's me, Neerja, signing off. Bye-bye.
This is the Randstad India Talent Pod, leading the human forward way.